It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right. What's going on, everybody? Little bit under the weather today, everybody. Not a good day, but I am here as always. The Sit Down with yours truly begins. And I want to thank you all for joining me tonight. And I want to thank everybody for the awesome feedback over yesterday's discussion about women's wrestling. The smoke and mirrors, a lot of promises made, a lot of promises not kept. I think we should say that not all promises have been unkempt. We've talked about it with Bianca Belair and some women who have progressed in the last couple of years. There's no question that the quality of women's wrestling, and even if you look across the indie circuit, there are more women's wrestlers than there were 3 to 5 years ago. The problem is, you know, you can have your all women's wrestling groups, but you look at the attendances, you look at the attention that it gets. You know, on social media, if you follow social media, every show should have 50,000 people in attendance. But in actuality, it is still considered a male-dominated sport. That's just the way it is. You look at the numbers. You know, we talked about it with the pay-per-views, with all these promotions. You know, you talk about wrestling conventions. You know, for every 10 men that are announced, it's one. And I know someone tried to say to me, well, DT, no, we're talking about Hall of Famers. That's why there's so many on the male side. No. You look at some of the conventions going on, you see Effie, you see James Storm, you see the Butcher, the Blade, the Candlestick Maker, you see a lot of wrestlers from today. Time will tell. But once again, you cannot force a narrative because you think it's the right way to go, that it's the right thing to do. Not every form of entertainment. And look, like I said, if it was up to me, I don't care if 100% of what I'm watching is women's wrestling. If that's what entertains me the most, that's fine with me. So, all right. So tonight, I'm going to be here. I think we're only going to go about an hour-ish. You know, not really because not much to talk about. I'm sure there is, but, you know, a little under the weather today. We will get right into questions in 2 minutes. First, the incidentals. Tonight's episode of the Sit Down with Yours Truly is brought to you by Manscaped. They were generous in sponsoring this week's episodes and more. Not only are they a sponsor, but I am a client. Believe me, if I could show you proof, I would, but I can't, so I won't. But you got to check out some of the packages that they have, manscaped.com. Later on, I will tell you about a couple of special offers that you might be interested in. And maybe not necessarily a gift for you, but for dad, granddad, boss. You know, it's not always about down there. It's about up here. It's nice and grooming. So we'll talk about that later on. No pictures, I promise you, Ramson. Hey, Ramson, I owe you a little bit of an apology. I think it was you yesterday that were talking about Roman Reigns' upcoming opponents. And I started asking around. And I said, you know, what's the deal, you know, with Roman Reigns and his opponents? Because we hear about Nakamura. We hear that they're going to ambush Sami Zayn eventually. You know, Sami Zayn's wearing a Bloodline shirt. You know, being the cheerleader, Bloodline never asked him for his help. Sami Zayn will probably get his ass kicked soon. You know, and I have nothing against Zayn or Nakamura, but those feel like throwaway matches, don't you? Do you feel there's any chance that Zayn or Nakamura could dethrone Roman Reigns for even one of those titles? No. So what I got this morning on a DM, which was very interesting, is that what WWE is looking to accomplish now about Roman Reigns' title. You want to take this as news, go right ahead. You know, we always talk about a lot of stuff here that no one else will cover unless they pull it themselves because they don't want to give us credit. It's all good. I do this for you. I don't do it for them. But you take this however you want. But the WWE, before Roman Reigns drops those titles, they want to cement Roman Reigns' title run as one of the greatest in history. Giving him both belts and unifying the titles, that in itself is a tremendous feat that makes Roman stand out across everyone else. But you look at the last 2 years of the Tribal Chief, some of his reigns, some of his feuds, very predictable. You know, I think Kevin Owens, Brock Lesnar might be the top two. Was Seth Rollins really a feud? No. The Jey Uso, the Usos stuff was spectacular, but it was never perceived as a threat for Roman Reigns' title. Some of the best feuds in history. You pick any feud you want. Bret, Shawn, Bret, Austin, Hogan, Andre, Hogan, Savage, Savage, Steamboat, Flair, Steamboat, Flair, Funk. What do they all have in common? That you really, when you think about it, you can't make a clear-cut winner. You know, it could go either way. Maybe Hogan Andre might be the exception because Andre was way past his prime and you knew that he was close to being done. But the greatest feuds in history are the ones where you really can't clear-cut pick out a winner. Hogan Warrior, nobody moves. You know, that time, living through that, epic, epic. You look at a lot of Roman Reigns' feuds, and it's very one-sided. Well, now, Randy Orton being considered. Riddle, which is still a dramatic underdog, but still, Riddle. Cody Rhodes, who may end up dethroning him. Drew McIntyre may end up dethroning him. Now they're stepping up the caliber of opponents, the quality of the opponents, the name recognition. And sure, Nakamura could still face Roman, Sami Zayn and others could still face Roman, but they are now considering the big guns. The big dog meets the big guns. And this way, when it is time for Roman to no longer hold champion, because look, even if he loses one of those titles, the reign still continues. And he'll probably drop the Raw championship first because the SmackDown reign continues. Never lost it. So that's what's coming up on the horizon. So, you know, you brought up something yesterday that I kind of just brushed off. Then I was thinking about it after. I'm like, you know, there might be something to this. And once they started throwing names back to me, yeah, WWE's thinking about these people. Like, whoa, okay, all right, I'm buying in for that. So we'll have a conversation about that tomorrow. Now, one other technical issue. Last week, we had a big problem trying to take calls. Eventually, we did. We got an impromptu Bluetooth alternative. I actually found out from the company that I use, Freedom Voice, that they've been having some server issues. And I don't know. I think they might be in California. Not throwing California under the bus, but they've been having some server issues. And they reset everything. So we may have some issues tonight as far as calls. We may end up doing live chat for the entire show. But next week, I'm not saying we're not taking calls tonight. We'll give it a shot. But at least we figured out that it's not a cable problem. It's not a phone problem. And it sure ain't my mixer problem. It's usually somebody else. So, all right. All right. Before we get into the questions and... you could ask anything. Remember, Sunday night, it's the sit-down. Whatever you want to talk about, nothing is too stupid. It could be wrestling, non-wrestling. It could be asking advice. I don't care what it is. You know, that's what we're here for. Anything you want to talk about. Tonight is lighthearted. You know, I know I'm the boss, you know, and acknowledge me. But tonight is about just having fun, regular down-to-earth conversation. We're not looking to break massive news. We're not looking to clickbait people. We're just going to have some combo. Ask whatever you want. All I ask is in the chat room, just put capital word question before your question, because I could spot it a hell of a lot faster, especially when everybody is chatting. Now, I did see a movie question come in, and you don't have to super chat. It is obviously appreciated, and you do get to the front of the line, but it's not required. Never will be required, but always appreciated. And Steve Joseph, I appreciate you, my friend. Thank you for that. Do the movie Casino with Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci. What did I think of the movie? Did I like it or not? Okay. I grew up on The Godfather. All right. In the 70s, it was The Godfather, Godfather Part Two. My father coming from Sicily. My mother coming from Naples in Florida. Italy, Naples. I'm Sicilian and Napolitan, if anybody wants to know. You know, a lot of that history at the beginning of The Godfather, anybody ever watched the first Godfather? The beginning is very boring. Antonio Andolini, until Robert De Niro took Don Cheech, and he, you know, took the knife, and you know the rest is history. But a lot of, you know, them hiding people in the donkeys and all that, Bruno Sammartino talked about it when he was alive. That's true. And I had family that lived during that time as well. So The Godfather hit home for my dad. So it was always on the TV screen. But when Goodfellas came out, that was it. That was it. Because I've told the story ad nauseum. We will not tell the story again today. But a lot of you know that in 1985, I was an honorary guest at John Gotti's Fish Club on 101st Avenue. And that's because I worked with his nephew. And me as, you know, a young teenager, hey, you want to come hang out? You know, I'll introduce you to some people. So I go there, I meet Gene Gotti, I meet all these others. And I'm sitting there at the table, and can I get you a drink? And they're talking to me like I'm 25 years old. I'm like 14 years old, 15 years old. And I'm sitting there, and it's the block party, it's the fireworks, 101st Avenue, and everybody's giving me dirty looks. So I come home that day, and my mom asked me, how was, you know, the feast? And I said, it was good. I said, we actually sat at this fish club. My father heard it. My father beat the shit out of me. My father's like, you do not, you know, not beat the shit. I mean, slap me across the head. Let's, you know, it hurt because he's a triple degree black belt, my father. But when I saw Goodfellas and, you know, when him, the young Ray Liotta, he's at the door and he's got the dress shoes on. And the mother says, you look like you're a gangster. And then the father hit him with the strap. Hit home for yours truly. So Goodfellas will always be my favorite movie. Casino, when it came out, it felt like, okay, we had so much success for Goodfellas, we got to do something similar. So now we'll do Casino. And that's why it rubbed me the wrong way from the beginning. When I watched it again and started to absorb it, I thought Sharon Stone was pretty good. Don Rickles, man, that guy was amazing. Don Rickles, I wish I could use the P word on this show, but I won't. But, man, what? And P, not pussy, by the way. I mean, the movie, I appreciated it the second and third time around. But for me, Goodfellas will always be my favorite. Too much of it was too realistic. Especially the neighborhood that I came from and people that I have seen over the years and people who I have met. You know, look, I know I'm Don Tony. Hey, how you doing? But, you know, I'm not going to clickbait y'all, and I'm not saying that I was ever in the mob. I was never connected. You're not going to see me on YouTube doing the podcast like Frenchies and, you know, the Bull Gravano. No. I was never, ever connected. But Goodfellas was a really, really, really good representation of, you know, what went on. And yeah, it was based more in the 50s and the 60s. The 70s was the very end. But you could add a decade or two to that, and it's similar. A lot of the 70s stuff was going on in the 80s. A lot of gangsters got whacked in the 80s. It's crazy. You do a YouTube search, you'll binge watch for the next month about all the gangsters that got whacked in the 80s. So, all right. Enough gangster talk. More gangster talk. Little announcement. Shit, that I'm disrespectful. But, you know, last week we did a little impromptu giveaway. What we did was I narrowed down the questions that came in to the top five that were call-ins and the top five that were write-ins. I put the polls on the community section and I asked everyone, which question did you like the most? Pick one from the list of people who called in. Pick one from the list of people who wrote it in. And each one of them would win an autographed photo of AJ Lee, AJ Brooks. The BEP, the BEP, the BEP, JR Jr., he won for his question talking about who should face the AEW Heavyweight Champion of Forbidden Door. And I got to go back and play it to see who sent in the question about how we all wanted William Regal. He should have said blood and guts on the microphone, you know, to challenge the Jericho Appreciation Society. Those were the two top vote getters, so each one will get an autographed AJ photo. So the BEP, you can DM me or email me so I can hook you up with your photo. I will go back and rewind it, and then I will shout out that person, unless the person is tuning in live tonight. And if you do say it was you, trust me, I will still go back and play it to verify it. So we'll do another giveaway next week. All right. There was a question from Run DMG. Whose house? Run's house. Does it hurt if Hangman Page? Does it hurt Hangman Page if Punk becomes world champion? Yes. Yes. In my opinion, I don't care that Tony Khan goes on Busted Open and gets away. You know, did you hear what he said about John Morrison, Johnny Elite? We talked about it the other day. I'm a huge fan of John Morrison. My track record speaks for itself. But that match with Samoa Joe, with the calling of the moves and the botching, it was very disappointing. And Tony Khan goes on Busted Open. Oh, God, I was so happy with that match. So what an excellent match. Blah, 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 blah. Like, please, you know, why does he get away with that? I know why, because they want to keep bringing him back. They want to keep him happy. You get Tony Khan a little bit upset, and he will, you know, erase you from his memory banks. With that said, I don't care that Tony Khan has said publicly that he thinks Hangman Page has had the greatest run of any AEW world champion. I know he beat Bryan Danielson in very impressive fashion. I know he beat Kenny Omega in impressive fashion. But his fucking reign all this time, and you see, you know, Takeshita's match was great. But, you know, fighting champion, you know what's funny? I love when, like, Hangman Page would cut a promo and say, I want to be a fighting champion. I don't want to just come here and talk. I want to fight. As if he has any control over it. I mean, he's cutting a scripted promo expressing frustration that they are presenting out there. It's like they acknowledge that he should be having more matches and he doesn't. So, with that said, if Hangman Page loses to CM Punk in the eyes of a lot of AEW fans, the trolls, of course, the haters, of course, the bots, there's no emotion with bots. But I think deep down inside, Tony Khan knows that Hangman Page should have had many more matches since then. And he is not. I personally think if Tony Khan wants Hangman Page looked as possibly the greatest world champion so far, better than Omega, better than Moxley, you know, better than any world champion, I think he's got to beat CM Punk. Would AEW and Tony Khan have the balls to have CM Punk lose in Chicago? I say yes. I say yes. I think that could very well happen. And if Hangman, yeah, somebody could interfere causing it, Paige might do dirty, might do something dirty to win. But I think if Paige beats Punk, that so really puts a lot more creed into his world championship reign. The only thing, though, is, and you got to think about this, you know, you have Forbidden Door coming up in June. I don't expect titles to be on the line, especially the world title. So whoever comes out of that match as the champion, they're probably going to hold on to that belt for at least another month or two, minimum. And would they lose it on just an episode of Dynamite? I don't think so. Not right now. So do you have Hangman Page keep the run for two more months? Or do you end it with CM Punk? And you got to think one step ahead as far as Japan goes. A lot of people have some fantasy matches with AEW and New Japan. Who fits the bill better as AEW World Champion? Page or Punk? I say Page should defeat Punk. I don't think Chicago riots if CM Punk loses. But I think too many people are immediately predicting Punk to get that championship. Las Vegas. I'm saying, like, you have Chicago. They're not going to be in it. Why did I say Chicago? Why did I say Chicago? What's coming up with Chicago and AEW? Why? I don't even know why I was saying Chicago. Boy. But still, I mean, even Las Vegas, I just don't feel that they're going to take the title off of Hangman Page. Why did I do it? What's coming up with Chicago? There's something coming up. Forbidden Door. Yes. That was my point. You know, do you have CM Punk going into Forbidden Door as a heavyweight champion? It's not needed. It's not needed. And I think CM Punk, if he goes into Forbidden Door and he's not the champion, he can win, he could lose, and I don't think it matters. It would be interesting. No, Twix, don't even go there, Twix. All right. I know you try to be a little bit extra funny, but, you know, we ain't going to start that shit over here. Punk, you know, a lot of people think that Punk's going to turn heel. I think Punk as a heel is 10 times better than Hangman Page as a heel. Who do you think AEW is going to turn heel? I don't lean towards Hangman Page doing it because Hangman Page is not so beautiful on the mic, with all due respect. So you think Page is going to get nuclear heat if he turns heel? You know, people need to realize something as far as heel turns go. Whoever Hangman Page feuds with, whether it's Danielson, whether it's Moxley, whether it's Kingston, whether it's Punk, we just name those as a few. He already had the matches with Cole. One thing we could all agree on is that everybody that I just mentioned would probably take Hangman Page to school. So Hangman Page, you turn him heel, you know, and he doesn't nail it with the heel promos, he's not going to get that nuclear heat. You know, when AEW wants to turn someone heel, they want to make it nuclear. CM Punk could make it nuclear. CM Punk, you know his verbiage abilities. So he walks into Chicago at Forbidden Door, and he is a heel. It would be really interesting to see if CM Punk goes into Chicago as a heel, and would AEW have the balls to make him lose? If he is a chicken shit heel and he puts down Chicago, the problem is you see what they did with MJF in Long Island. So stupid, man. I get it. MJF is in his hometown. Everybody's going to love MJF over here. I'm 10 minutes from Long Island. But you got this huge feud with Wardlow. And, yeah, the fans are not going to turn their back on Wardlow, but how do you do that confrontation in Long Island where, you know, like, you don't have MJF going against the crowd? And they did it almost because I think it was too hard of a challenge to overcome. Just because someone is competing in their local town They shouldn't just submit and say, okay, that character is going to be the reversal because they're in the hometown, especially as a heel. I don't like that. I don't like that. Okay. Anthony Alston, what are my thoughts on Double or Nothing having a five-hour runtime next week with the pre-show? It's draining. It's very draining. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was thinking about doing a recap of Double or Nothing the next day, because I don't have to do something right after something goes off the air, because that's going to maximize as the number of people that tune in. People want to tune in what I have to say. They tune in whether it's 5 minutes after an event or one day after an event. I'm not going to do it 5 to 7 days after an event because, you know, that's ridiculous. But think about next weekend. You have a one-hour pre-show or a half-hour. That's usually theirs. Then you could have a 4 to 4.5 hour event. You know, remember what I said yesterday indirectly about the women. You know, AEW is advertising 40 wrestlers in the ring. I didn't even count managers and people outside the ring. You got 40 people competing. WrestleMania Backlash had 16. AEW's got 2.5 times the number of people. So you're going to have a 4.5 hour pay-per-view, 4 to 4.5 hours with the pre-show. And then people are so tired, they got to get to work the next day. And you're going to do a recap for another 90 minutes after? What, and go to bed at 3:30 in the morning? Why? So I'm not going to lie. I am thinking about doing the recap the next day. I probably will end up doing it live, but I won't spend a crazy amount of time going through match by match. Just overall results, you know, what matches I liked, what I didn't like, anything that stood out, good or bad, and that's it. Call it a day. You know, I see some people do pay-per-view recaps and they do it in 30 minutes and they get spectacular feedback. So it's not about the length of the recap. I just feel people are going to be so exhausted. But then again, if the pay-per-view rules and you get an epic finish, especially with Punk and Paige, I'm sure there's a lot of people are going to still be in that frame of mind, like, yeah, I want to speak out right after. So probably end up doing it live, but I'll probably really cut back on the length of the recap. So Memorial Day is the next day, but that doesn't mean anything for a lot of people, Rockstar. There's a lot of people that have to work. I have to go in still. You know, I can't tell insurance companies, oh, can you hold this cancellation for another day? It's Memorial Day. It's Sunday. It's Christmas. Oh, you know, there's certain laws. A lot of people that work in retail, they're all working Memorial Day. They may be able to go home a little bit earlier, but they still got to get up way early in the morning. So, you know, it's not always, I mean, you make a good point for some, but not for all. There's a lot of people that do have to get up the next day. So, and even if you didn't, still, I mean, that's exhausting, you know, to go through 5.5 hours. I mean, the WrestleManias, I'm kind of thankful that they're two nights, but each night is like 4 hours still, you know, because their pre-show, what was it, 2 hour pre-show? You think about it. Yeah, so fly, tightening up the reviews. Believe it or not, what I've been thinking about doing on Mondays, you know, I've been saying this for about 2 years now. Raw in 30, news in 30, Q&A in 30. That's really what my goal is for Monday nights. Raw recap in 30 minutes, wrestling news that we haven't covered, or follow-ups, 30 minutes, Q&A, questions, feedback, 30 minutes. Raw in 30, news in 30, Q&A in 30. So, and you never get enough for Q&A because there's always stuff every day going on. Hey, DT, any updates regarding Sasha and Naomi? Hey, did you see that Jimmy Uso spoke out? He didn't speak out. He posted a picture of his wife on Instagram. What do you expect him to do? You know, like not support his wife? Kevin Milwaukee. I see Joey Janela. I can already tell this is going to be a good one. If I happen to have seen Joey Janela hit a flaming super kick and his boot kept burning and burning this week. Oh, have I seen it? I thought the way you worded the question, I thought it was going to say, if you saw his boot burning and burning and burning, would you put it out? Would I put it out? I don't even know. I don't. Would I save? Would I urinate and put it out? Or, you know, I did not see the clip yet. But apparently Joey Janela did a flaming super kick and his boot kept burning and burning. Yo, look, this goes back indirectly of what I said about the Creed brothers in NXT. You saw what Brutus did on Tuesday? Stupid motherfucker. He does a cannonball outside the ring. I don't wish injury on no wrestler, even the ones I despise. But seriously, that guy's kneecaps should have shattered. It should have just blown into a million pieces. And then be like, if I was Shawn Michaels, if he's still heading it up, I would turn around and say, wow, it was pretty cool. Don't fucking ever do that shit again. The problem with a lot of these wrestlers is, in just an opinion, is that they can't just do the moves. They got to try to put their own spin on it. Well, let me take a boot that is made out of leather and canvas and let me put some lighter fluid on it. And yeah, once I do the super kick, it's like a flaming table. As soon as the person hits the table, the flames go out and blah, 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 blah. The stuff that happened with Cody, we know the reason why the table kept burning. You know, not as stupid as what happened that time with Supreme and XVW, God rest his soul, charcoal fluid. Charcoal fluid. Oh, my God. Even my friends used the backyard before I had my car accident in the 90s. They knew Zippo fluid, not charcoal fluid. If Joey Janela's boot got all fucked up because of that, hopefully he doesn't do another flaming super kick. I hope he didn't get injured. I kind of like Joey Janela. You know, he tries to be uber creative with his violence. And personally, you know, maybe the people there, ooh and odd. But what would have happened if the flame went right out? What if he lit the boot on fire, hit the super kick, and it went right out? Do you think people a year from now are going to say, oh, shit, I remember when you lit your boot on fire? You know, it's like, really, why, you know, like, have that expense where, you know, you could have gotten some serious burns out of it? If anything, that might have been the best thing that could have happened, because now it sends a message to other wrestlers. Don't be as stupid as Joey Janela. Don't set your boot on fire. For what? To do a super kick? If you mean to tell me with that force of kicking someone in the mouth with your boot, if that's not going to do damage enough, that, oh, no, let me set it on fire. I think it's stupid. RMJ said he had a guy at work yesterday drop a bucket full of boiling hot water on his foot. He said the skin on his foot came off like a glove. I don't even want to know that visual, man. That's crazy. And by the way, he is not saying that it was done deliberately. I guarantee he was not trying to pull a Joey Janela there. That shit's scary, man. I got hot water on me once. And, you know, I made like pasta one time and then I went to take like a little bit out of the spoon, you know, spoon out of the water and a little bit of, you know, just a couple of drips come crashing down on my bare foot. That's not fun, man. That is not fun. All right. Let's keep it going. Michael Gonzalez, if Brock comes back for SummerSlam, who would likely see him feud with? Maybe do Lesnar, Lashley too. Lashley now full-blown babyface. You think they would dare do Omos versus Brock? I know people like, oh, fuck no, don't do that. Yeah, I agree with you, but you think that they could do that? By the way, something's going to happen on the show right now that's probably only happened two or three times in 25 years. That was legit. If anybody goes back with me to 1997, how many times have I sneezed live on a show? That might be the second or third time. Gesundheit. Salut. Thank you. Prego. I feel another one coming. I'm allergic to Q&A. All right. Wow. Two times in 25 seconds. All right. No, that sneeze was not a work. I got a really weird question to ask all of you. I don't know why I'm thinking about this. This has got to be one of the most dumbest questions I've ever asked any of you in my history. Do your sneezes smell? Do your sneezes smell? I just had a flashback to my childhood. I'm not kidding. I sneezed just now. And I sneeze in my arm. Force of habit, COVID, at work. I don't go ha-choo and it flies in the air for everybody to enjoy. You know, they don't sit there with Randy Orton and take it in. My father used to, like, hold me in his arms even when I was a preteen. Like, he'd, like, piggyback me. And sometimes when my father would sneeze, I would smell something, be like, oh, what is that? And now I just realized my sneeze smells like my father's. Look, I got air fresheners right here. I'm going to literally sprinkle it on my arm. I'm not kidding. Do your sneezes smell? I've never smelled my sneeze before, but maybe because I went in the arm and I just did an encore performance. Because if I'm in a room by myself, I don't do the arm thing. If I'm in a room by myself, oh, sorry, fucking Lily. Sorry if you get a little COVID sneeze from me. You know, but if I'm around people, I do that. I usually don't do the encore performance. So the first time I sneeze in the arm and that's it. I don't sit there and go. But the second time, just now, when I went to sneeze again, when I went like this, about to sneeze, I was like, oh, God, that's what I said to him. I'm like, what is that? Zavani Zarate, only on this show can we get a cool super chat talking about the smell of sneezes. That is epic, man. Giovanni Zarate. Yova NY. I guarantee you somebody would say Yova NY. Giovanni Zarate. Thank you very much, my friend. I hope you're doing well. He is a long time. I see his name float around sometimes. Thank you very much, brother. Appreciate that. Oh, I can't. You know, holding in sneezes are no good. I have had so many, watched so many shows over the years. You know, you do it sometimes. You might be like on a date or you might be around people and you don't want them to sneeze, especially now with COVID. You sneeze, everybody's like, ah! So what do? You hold it in, you go. I've done that many times. I got to sneeze and I'm around people, especially if I'm in the post office. Can you imagine if I sneeze in the post office? Even if I cover it up with my face, ha-choo, everybody would be like, ah! So what do? You hold it in, you go like this. You sound like a duck. Like you stepped on a duck's foot. Like I said, only on a show like this we could talk about smelly sneezes and get love, Mr. Zarate. Zarate! I'm not trying to make fun of your name. I like it. I'm in a better mood now. I'm in a better mood. Ah, Kevin's held his sneezes in. Not that Kevin, by the way. By the way, you know, I didn't even realize it. I don't know if it was me or maybe one of my original moderators, but I was going through the blocked list, the shadow ban list on here, and I saw Kevin Castle's name on there, and like I'm saying to myself, is this really him? And I'm like, I don't recall ever shadow banning him for the simple reason that you can't just type a name in and then it pops up. It would have to be somebody in the chat room, and I don't recall him ever being in the chat room. So I don't know if somebody used the name and one of my old moderators blocked him, because you usually Chaos and Austin, they'll let me know. They're like, hey, I shadow banned this person tonight because of blah, 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 blah. I've lifted a few shadow bans, but I'm curious if Kevin happens to see this, let me know, because, you know, If you are, you know, I mean, I will definitely delete it. But if that's not him and it's just somebody using a name, I certainly don't want to remove it. So, yeah, I'm trying to be a good person. I've always been a good person. I think I take this stuff a little too seriously at times. You know, I feel like I'm letting people down. You know, I get really pumped up for the conversations, you know, even if it sounds one-sided at times. I really, you know, anything I say here, it's not try to bait people. It's not try to, you know, use headlines. I mean, my God, you look at some of the shows out there. I found one podcast done 9 shows since last Monday. Of course, his shows are small. 9 shows. 8 of them are about Sasha and Naomi. I mean, you know, it gets to the point. That's like that old Tawana Brawley stuff I was telling you about with Morton Downey Jr. Every time he didn't know what to talk about, but wanted to get some attention. Oh, we'll talk about Tawana Brawley. You know, every week we'll talk about that. You know, of course, that's an important topic when there's a legit update. But you go look, do a search on YouTube later. Jimmy Uso comments on the Naomi Sasha. And then when you go click on it, and it's like, oh, he posted a picture of his wife on Instagram. That's all he did. T. Smitty. Smitty. I am smitten for Smitty. Thank you very much, my friend. If I were close to Sasha and Naomi, all right, well, let's get into some serious talk. If I was close to Sasha and Naomi, would I advise them to tell their side of the story or remain silent? Okay. I will be totally honest with you. We're not geniuses. We knew they were going to strip them of the titles. We knew they were going to suspend them. I know about 95% of the net is on the side of Sasha and Naomi. I am in many ways. But, you know, I think, and I'm sorry for keep bringing it up again, I think back to Bret Hart 1997, when Vince McMahon was on Raw. Bret Hart forgot this is a business. Sasha Banks and Naomi are playing characters on TV. They're not actually pinning anybody. This is storyline. And whether they wrestle Bianca Belair or Bianca Pubic Hair, whether it's Ronda Rousey or Ronda Belanda, you know, if the person is reckless, careless, inexperienced, and you're worried about your health, yeah, I'd be concerned also. But it's not like they were being docked pay. Look, Naomi, we want you to wrestle Bianca. And as a result, you're not going to get paid as, you know, I understand it's not always about money, but you got to remember, this is the entertainment business. You know, imagine that you're in a soap opera and, you know, the woman walks in the door and she sees the guy making out with the babysitter. And it happens. And then 3 years later, they reconcile. And then the writers say, hey, Sasha, on next week's One Life to Live, you're going to open the door. And now your husband, instead of making out with the babysitter, he's going to make out with the butcher. You know, it's like, I mean, they're playing characters to an extent. But, you know, because if I leave it like this, people get angry. But it does not justify WWE lying to Sasha. Doesn't justify WWE lying to Ronda. To Naomi. It doesn't justify making promises, you know, when 6 months ago, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, we're going to do this with you. We're going to push this. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Do this. And then, okay, I'm cool. Whew. We'll deal with her again when we get to it. Yeah, that's pretty much what goes on. It happens all in wrestling. You know, you look at the AEW stuff. Wow, I got so much hate on DMs and emails about what I said yesterday about the Tony Khan stuff. I criticize WWE just as much. It's just that Triple H doesn't make the quotes. Vince, Bruce, Nick, Dick, none of them make the quotes, so I can't reference them. But if I was Sasha and Naomi, I would not comment about what transpired unless they are fired. Unless they are fired and they want to burn that bridge. Because look, everybody, at the end of the day, this is their livelihood. You ask yourself, when people, you see 130 releases in 2 years, and you still see people signing with WWE. I talked about it with Roxy. I talked about it with others when Killer Cross said that he would go back under the right circumstances. Why do you keep hearing people, you know, like signing after all of this or saying that they would consider coming back? Because they know who they're doing business with. They know that they're dealing with a very demanding elite that, you know, no margin forever error, you know, that a little bit of lying, you know, this is who they deal with. So if Sasha comes, look at Mustafa Ali. You had the internet wrestling community hashtag free Ali. Free Ali, free Ali, free Ali, free Ali, free. Even if he fucking wins the United States title or the Intercontinental title or the 24/7 title, whatever title he wins. Look how he's been used so far. This is what he held out for? Ask yourself, do you think that Ali is being fed some shit sandwiches because of what he did? Is some of what's been said out of Miz's mouth, Ali and others, is this a little bit of, hey, Ali, we can't just welcome you back on TV and everything is good because that sends a message that everybody can do that as well and then they get what they want and they get pushed. No, you're going to get buried a little bit. That's the truth. Now, if Ali doesn't win that title, is this the same situation as Sasha and Naomi? Look, Mustafa, you still got time in your contract. Come back. We'll do this. We'll do this. We'll do this. All right, I come back. And then you find out they didn't do what they said they were going to do. They're feeding his family. They're putting money in his pocket. He's paying his bills. Sure, you want to be happy in the job that you're making the money. But you also understand they are in a profession that there aren't many companies in wrestling that pay like WWE. You think Tony Khan pays that level? You think Impact Wrestling? You think MLW? You think, what are you going to do? Go to New Japan? Some of these wrestlers can. This is their livelihood. This is what they chose to do. You will see some wrestlers get out of it. Just look at Akam and Razor. They're back in wrestling. They're doing their own promotion. You know, there's not many WWEs that pay that kind of money. So you will see people come back. The question is, does Sasha feel, at this stage of the game, does Sasha feel that she doesn't need pro wrestling anymore? She doesn't need the full-time spotlight. Maybe a little part-time with AEW. Maybe, you think she's doing indies? You know, understand, Sasha Banks at this stage in her life may feel, you know what? I don't need wrestling anymore. I do Mandalorian. I do autograph signings. I sell some stuff. I game. I go on Twitch. You know, is Tony Khan going to open up the floodgates to pay her? You know, everybody is easy to talk about people's futures when it's not their own. Most of the people that are going to start teasing you like, oh, Sasha Banks is going to go to AEW and, oh my God, WWE's literally hand-delivering this person, you know, even if that was the case, do you think Tony Khan is going to break the bank? For some people, he didn't do it for Bray Wyatt. He didn't do it for Braun Strowman. I know not everybody likes Braun Strowman, but there's some names that he's not going near because he doesn't want to pay that kind of money for people unless he is infatuated with them as a wrestling fan. It's not what's best for business. It's what gives him that special feeling inside. That's why when he talked about Johnny Elite the other day, you know, he's talking about, oh, he fought one of our greatest Ring of Honor wrestlers of all time. He's got to throw that in there because it gives him the special feeling on his leg. He is a beloved, avid, lifelong fan of Ring of Honor. So anytime he gets, he could go to, you know, a function and somehow he'll play 6 degrees of Ring of Honor. Hey, did you have the turkey? Yeah, I did have the turkey. You know, it brings me back to my memories, you know, having Thanksgiving dinner with, you know, Shad and my family. And, you know it's, what about that Thanksgiving night, Ring of Honor? Oh, my God, the American Great Dragon, blah, 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 blah. 6 degrees of Ring of Honor. Anything he says, 6 degrees of Ring of Honor. So Sasha and Naomi, why do you think some people are now clickbaiting that Sasha influenced Naomi? You're going to see very soon Sasha poisoned Naomi. That this is not the Naomi that we know. Naomi is a team player. She goes along with it. She is being used now better than she was a year ago. Why would Sasha walk out? You know, at the end of the day, that is a noble thing to do for your best friend. You know, but at the end of the day, Sasha's going to the Mandalorian. Where is Naomi going? She's going to the supermarket to buy groceries. Can I have some Mandalorian too? So if they get fired and they don't plan on coming back, that's when they will speak out. They might, what I expect them to do is I expect them to thank the fans for all of their support. I hear you. I feel you. I appreciate you. I acknowledge you. That's the only statement I expect them to make, Smitty. You know, as long as everybody's having a good laugh tonight, that's all I care about. When I do these shows, I'm no comedian. You know, I don't claim to be hilarious when I do my stuff, but I try to be lighthearted about it. There's no malicious intent here. I commend Tony Khan that he's that much of a wrestling fan. It's fucking awesome. But understand when his fandomhood interferes on what you see on TV. So, but no, Sasha and Naomi, if they're going to say anything right now, it's just thank you, fans. Thank you, everybody, for your support. We appreciate it. I don't expect them to throw Vince. Even if Sasha were to be fired, I think Sasha would thank Vince for everything that he's done for her. I think in some ways, Vince McMahon is like that father figure for Sasha. I really mean that. Even if she were to get fired. And believe me when I tell you, if Sasha Banks, remember you heard this here, do not be surprised if Sasha Banks gets fired. Do I think she gets fired? I don't think so. I think this might be, you know, a repairable issue. But, do not be surprised if she does get fired, and I'll tell you why. Put all the emotional tweets aside. Put all the passionate rants aside. Put all the fuck Bruce, fuck everybody aside. At the end of the day, with Sasha Banks, you got to look at it like this. I'm trying to think the best way I could put this. You know, Vince McMahon and WWE is a billion-dollar business. Entertainment. They always want to give the narrative that they are the bosses. They sign the checks. You don't tell us what we should do. We tell you what to do. I know that sounds cold, and it is cold. But if WWE has to fire Sasha Banks to send that message to everybody else on the roster, look, some of you may not be happy, then don't re-sign with us. We can replace you. Everybody is replaceable. When Steve Austin had that walkout in 02, that was right at the what stuff. You know, he had the biggest selling shirt. He had someone, you're talking about Steve Austin now. WWE was devastated with that. Business went on. There ain't no one person. Some people think Roman Reigns. Believe me when I tell you, if Roman Reigns, he had leukemia, everybody. Roman Reigns was gone for quite some time. WWE didn't go out of business. WWE didn't report big losses. WWE stock went up. So nobody knew if he would ever come back when he had the leukemia. So no one person is going to tell a billion-dollar company what they can and cannot do. So if WWE has to fire Sasha Banks to send that message to everybody else, they will. They will. They will. And by the way, I see online everybody, you know, not everybody, but some people, oh, this is going to cause a domino effect. If they fire Naomi, then Jimmy Uso will quit. And if Jimmy Uso quits, then Jey Uso will quit. And then if Jey Uso quits, Solo Sikoa would quit. And then Roman Reigns will say, no, the bloodline's got to stick together. Roman Reigns will quit. And then they'll have no use for Paul Heyman unless they bring about. And shut the fuck up. Seriously. Harris B., good evening to you. We are having some fun, but very, very poignant, precise conversation. DQ manager who terminated Ken. See, that's a lot of letters with no spaces, and I aced it. Do I like pie? Do you like pie? I sound like a Jewish version of The Rock. If you smell what the arugula is cooking. Thank you, whoever terminated Ken. It is a good name. It's a very good name. Much love, everybody who is here tonight. Should we mention a little bit about Manscaped? Yes. Yes, because at the end of the day, for most of us out there, we have a set of balls. And even though we have a strong, big set of coconuts, 85%, it is a proven survey. It's not amongst, oh, if you pay attention to the internet wrestling community, it might only be 3%, because we know how their grooming, you know, preferences are. But in a legit survey, in a men's magazine, and another survey that Manscaped pulled, 85% of partners, whether you like your M&Ms with plain or peanut, your partners prefer a man who is groomed below the waist. Not having out-of-control brush fires, but nice trimmed hedges. That's why Manscaped is a sponsor for tonight's show. They have the Lawnmower 4.0. I have used it. It is spectacular. The blade, if you look at it, is like a white piece of plastic underneath it. Do not try to remove it. I thought it was some guard when I first bought it. And I was like, am I supposed to pry this off? Thank God I read the instructions. You're not supposed to pry it off. Could you imagine if I were to use the Lawnmower and remove the plastic protection? It would have looked like I had monkeypox down there. So they have the ultra smooth package right now. You get the crop exfoliator. You wash down there. You know, there is skin behind the foliage. So you use the exfoliator. It removes a little bit of dead skin. It softens it up. You put a little crop gel down there. Makes it nice, cool. And then you take that crop shaver. Turn that son of a bitch sideways and you groom yourself. You don't have to go bald eagle, but it is very delicate. I have used it. I don't mind telling you. We all, you know, I mean, maybe not near Rofe right now because, you know, he's battling, you know, some cancer issues. And I know people are right now like, oh, that's fucking cold. No, Nier loves my warped sense of humor. Nier beat cancer already, so I could joke with him now. I told him when he beats it, now I'm going to have some fun with him. I'm dealing with prostate cancer right now, everyone. But it looks like all I have to do is get a radiation seed implanted in me, or I might have to get a little bit of a minor surgery. The thing about my family, yeah, this has nothing to do with Manscaped, but the thing about my family is that it runs in the family, but every single person has beaten it. And they caught it early that my doctor said, do not worry. Okay? So, you know, I'm not going to go bald because of anything like that. I'm good, Brian. I'm good. I didn't think we would bring it up because of this. But the bottom line is that whether you want to go like infant down there, or if you want to just trim the hedges and be nice and groomed, go to manscaped.com. Anything you see there, if you enter the promo code DONTONY, you will get 20% off. But if I could give a piece of advice, they have a package there called the Performance Package 4.0. You get the lawnmower, you get the weed whacker, you get a crop preserver, crop reviver, you get this magic mat. It's not a movie. You get a travel bag, you get a newspaper that talks about your balls. I know this sounds crazy, but it's usually about $215 in value. You go there right now, you pay $124, you put in the promo code DONTONY, you get it for $99.99, and you get free shipping. You want to drop 100 spot on your dad, your granddad? Trust me, don't think he's going to be embarrassed. You see my balls? Is there something wrong with my testicles? No, it's an overall grooming package. You know, I used it on my chest hair. Look, I got nice clean chest hair right now. So anyway, go to manscaped.com, shop around, shop up, shop down. What is that? That's House of Pain. Jump around, jump up, jump up, get down, jump. Go check it out. Promo code DONTONY, and you'll find some good shit there. So Manscaped, after they, I have to send them timestamps. They don't have to, but yeah, I think after they hear this, they're going to be like, oh my God, I thought Cornette was crazy with his, we just try to have some fun. But I really do recommend it. It's good shit. And I've always said on these shows, I would never plug something that I don't endorse and use myself. And what's the greatest thing about it? We talked about it in 3 minutes today instead of eight. I didn't realize I did an infomercial the other day. So, all right. Let's get back to the show. We've only run an hour. So things are so good. Maybe we'll stay for a whole another hour. Maybe we'll try calls in a few minutes, see if it works. So any questions for me? Like I said, in the chat room, just put capital word question before your question so it stands out so I can spot it. And if I pass you up, you know, probably because you sent a shitty question. No, I'm only kidding. Nothing is too shitty here. We're just having fun. Easy conversation, whatever you want to talk about. I don't care. We have fun here. That's what it's about. All right. Let's see. Gross, I haven't gone to the Olive Garden since probably 20 years ago, but my favorite food that I can remember from the Olive Garden was the breadsticks. Me, before I went keto, no joke, for you health nuts out there, for about 45 years, 90% of my diet was bread. Whether it's potato chips, fried stuff, pretzels, pasta, pizza, 80 to 90% of everything I ate. I always say 80 to 90% of my total friends out there, Access Audio only. Well, 80 to 90% of everything I ate was bread. And it fucked me up because I became insulin resistant. And that's causing me some, oh, by the way, we'll talk about it next week. That crazy pain that I told you that they couldn't find out what it was, they finally found out. I have a ventral hernia. It's an internal hernia that if I turn the wrong way, a part of my intestine pops out of a hole. I swear to fucking God. Too bad I can't put like a little portable camera in there so I could show it, but yeah, I got to get that taken care of soon too. So the breadsticks. Oh my God. You take the breadsticks, you dip it in the garlic. When I ordered Domino's, Domino's breadsticks remind me of Olive Garden. The only difference was Olive Garden's were oval and the breadsticks at Domino's were square. You dip that with that garlic oil. Oh my God. Where do I see myself? Where do I see AEW in 5 years? I see them still in existence. You know, I think the only way AEW has a disaster is if they get taken off of WarnerMedia Discovery and there isn't another network out there that would not pick them up. And I got to be honest with you. Say what you want about AEW's flaws and growing pains. I prefer to call them growing pains. It gets bad when it becomes a pattern, and when it, that pattern happens for years, it turns into a habit. You know, sometimes you start a little habit. You bite your fingernails, you pick your nose, you know, you start scratching a certain area. You know, you get a little bit of habit. You have a cigarette. You know, you experiment first, you know, you do it a little bit. But right now, it's growing pains. But then the pattern goes long enough, it turns into a habit, and that habit is hard to break. Because now the fans expect surprises, expect 40 people on the show, expect this, expect that. So the only way I see AEW having a big problem, and it's only temporary, is if WarnerMedia and Discovery drops them. But I also believe, I'm not saying Disney, NBC Universal, Hulu, YouTube, whatever. I see some type of TV streaming service out there that would snatch up AEW. I do not believe AEW is going anywhere. I think that they will grow. It's already been 3 years, everybody. 3 years goes like that. So before you know, we'll be in another 3 years, and you might have something very similar to now. Look at those quotes from 2019. You look at what Tony Khan said about certain women in 19, and they're still the same people now. It's 3 years later. That's a lot of time. The only way I see AEW going out of business is if Shad Khan says, look, no more money. But the problem is, Tony Khan has his own money. Everybody thinks that it's like a dual bank account. Or let me explain like this. It's not like the credit card. This almost sounds like Shane McMahon. Oh, the dotted line will say McMahon, but it's not Vince McMahon, it's Shane McMahon. No, it's not like, oh, the credit card says Khan. You got the split screen. You have Tony like this. And Shad is like, oh, the credit card says Khan. But it says not Tony Khan, but Shad Khan. No, it's not like Shad Khan has the credit card and Tony Khan is just an authorized user. Tony Khan has his own money. Whether his father gave it to him or it doesn't matter. Tony Khan has his own bank account. Tony Khan has billions. So even if Shad says, son, no more money, now Tony's going to have to really be a little more careful with his own money. Even with that, they're not going anywhere. AEW will be around. I hope they grow. I really mean that. You know, it was amazing how much negative emails and DMs I got yesterday. And I realized that the majority of the people that were saying what they were saying, they didn't want to write it on YouTube in the comments because probably people would call them nuts. But I had people going off the rails yesterday. The fuck's your problem with AEW? You claim to be a supporter of AEW, but you fucking threw Tony Khan under the bus. No, he didn't. I'm bringing to light, you know, an obvious problem. Doesn't mean I don't like AEW and Tony Khan. I'm just very, very honest. I try to be, you know, as blunt as possible. It looks the other way because no one else is doing this. But no, AEW will be around for a while. They'll be around. Anybody out there that says, oh, they're in trouble. And even if they got, like I said, even if they get dropped from WarnerMedia or Discovery, which I don't see happening, they might get different time slots. You might see down the line, you know, them changing a time slot. I hope they put Rampage at 7. I'm telling you, I've talked about Saturday night Rampage. I've talked about 2-hour time slot. I truthfully think if Rampage was at 7 o'clock, within a month, Rampage's ratings will be higher than what they are now. And I don't mean the last 3 weeks. I mean the average. Because right now with the 10 to 11 spot, a lot of people are tired by the time SmackDown ends. And they do other things. They go to sleep. They watch something else. I think if you have Rampage from 7 to 8 as the lead-in to SmackDown, I guarantee you will have a lot of people that will turn in at minimum for the last half hour of Rampage. Oh, SmackDown's going to start at 8? Let me watch the last half hour of Rampage. They got a good main event advertised for tonight. I think Rampage from 7 to 8 would draw better ratings than they do 10 to 11. I really believe that. And I think, even though I wouldn't mind a Saturday night show, but I'm writing this down for the synopsis. Give me 7 to 8 o'clock for Rampage on Friday nights. That would be an awesome time slot. I don't know if Warner Media Discovery would give that to them. Keyboard's exposed. Oh, water bottle's exposed. I don't like anything on the screen. So, Harris B. So I am most certainly a supporter of theirs because of pointing out flaws they need to work on. Yeah, I want them to get better and bigger. You know, there's a lot of people out there, you know. But it goes back to what I said about Killer Cross. When Killer Cross did that interview and Killer Cross said that he had people before he ever went to WWE and they were telling him, oh, my God, you're ready. No, they got to bring you in and you by next year's WrestleMania, you should be one of the big matches on the card. And he got angry at stuff like that. He's like, I don't want to hear people saying that to me. I'm nowhere near what I should be. But you have people out there, you know, Tony Khan, you see the clips, you know, he's holier than thou. He's amazing. Everything. He's boss, dad, the father I always wanted, the father that I should have had. You know, Tony can't do no wrong. Epic, amazing, unbelievable. You know, and I think deep down inside, Tony Khan sees some of this from media and he's like, fucking people are weird. I really believe that. Because take note, and I brought this up before, take note of the news sites and shows that are over the top gushing of Tony Khan, and Tony Khan never acknowledges them. Why is that? Because I think even Tony Khan realizes that is just a weird, over the top, disingenuous fascination with him and AEW. I believe their support is legit, but I think it gets to a level that when he can do no wrong, that doesn't help AEW. I told you this a couple of years ago that one of AEW's biggest problems are people out there that are going to try to convince that everything that AEW is doing is good and positive. They do a shit rating. Oh, basketball's on. They do another shit rating. Oh, well, there's, you can't do that. You know, me, when I see that less people check out an episode, I try to see, go back and figure out why that is. And what it comes down to is that somebody chose to either watch something else, listen to something else, or listen and watch to nobody instead of checking out my stuff. Maybe the topics I said were boring this week. Maybe my stance was way off. Maybe I talked too much. You know, maybe I brought up, see, I don't talk about politics no more. That was one of the biggest complaints 2.5 years ago. You know, I took that out. You hear me. You hear me addressing shows anymore, podcasters or anything. That's done. You know, I try to improve. And the bottom line is, whenever AEW has a show on, or WWE, or Impact, or anything else, if your rating goes down, that means your viewers chose to do something else instead of your product. And you should never say, oh, well, basketball's on. Oh, that's okay then. Hey, you met this hot babe. And I say it because I'm heterosexual. Hey, you met this hot chick. She's going to call you tonight, right? Yeah, we're going to have a great conversation. Oh, cool, 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 cool. Tomorrow. Oh, great. Yeah, you she's going to call you, right? Right. Oh, no, she didn't call me. The next day. Oh, she didn't call me. Oh, well, you know, there was a soap opera on. No, she found something else to do instead of calling you. You know, and I hate when people make excuses for futility. You know, even Impact Wrestling. Impact Wrestling right now is doing shit in the numbers. They could bring in, they could dig up a wrestler from years ago that is no longer on this earth and, you know, put them back on TV and it won't draw a rating. And you see these sites, well, the demo went up 33%. Well, when your demo is only 0.2, if it goes to 0.3, oh my God, they had a 50% jump to 0.2. They did a 0.1. They did a 0.1 demo, I think, back in December. You could go look it up. And the next week, they did a 0.2. 0.02. 0.2 would be off the hook. 0.01 they did. And then the following week, they did 0.02. And websites, Impact's rating increased 100%, doubled. I click on it. The demo went from 0.01 to 0.02. And they're trying to portray it that they doubled their rating. That's how ridiculous some of this shit is. You saw how bad it was that all of these sites were bringing up Fox Live at 5. They're comparing AEW's rating to TV shows that air at 9 o'clock in the morning. AEW was 10th for the night, only behind Fox Breakfast, the 5. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, no, why are they bringing up shows from 12 noon? Awful, awful. Gruss, once again, was Aces and 0.8s better than today's current shows? No. In my opinion. You ever hear that phrase, absence makes the heart grow fonder? That's what's happening right now with Aces and 8s. I saw somebody, and this is the example I say. You have people writing on Forbes. You got goofs writing on SportsKita. Not everybody is bad. There's some legit writers on those sites. I'm not crapping on the sites, but you got some goofs that have figured it out. Well, let me write a couple of sites let me write a couple of articles on a site with a blue check mark. And if I write enough of them, I'll get the blue check mark. That's why you see, some wackos out there. We don't need to bring up anybody in particular. But you see some wackos that write articles and they're horrendous. A 3-year-old would write a better article, but because they're writing on a website with a blue check mark, they get the blue check mark eventually. So there's somebody right now that wrote that Aces and 8s returning is a great thing for Impact Wrestling. We got Wes Briscoe and Garrett Bischoff, with all due respect. They're the ones that have returned. And they're talking about Aces and 8s coming back as a good thing. It ain't going to be Bully Ray. It ain't going to be Nux. It ain't going to be most of the people. You bring back all those people, then I'll think about it. That mentality, like I said, is as if the NWO came back and it's Horace Hogan and Vincent. So no, I don't think Aces and 8s was very good at the time. The storyline was horrendous. They had to do four, five, or six segments to explain why Bully Ray was getting the shit knocked out of him from Aces and 8s, but that was all done on purpose to prove his loyalty. Not even the dumbest mafia out there would turn around and say, hey, we're going to cut your fingers off, and then we're going to hit you over the head with a baseball bat, and then we're going to fucking whack your family. But no, that's not because we don't like you. We're just doing that because to prove your loyalty. Then you'll be head down after that. Even in storyline, after Bully Ray got his ass kicked, and then Aces and 0.8 says, no, this was all done to prove his loyalty so he could be the head thing. If I was Bully Ray, I don't know, fucking aligning with you. The fuck would do that? What kind of moron the storyline was awful. It's not their fault, though. It was creative. Bully Ray and Aces and 8s took chicken shit, tried to make chicken salad out of it. It had its moments that it was good. But the overall story, remember Brooke Hogan married to Bully Ray. And for some reason, because he puts a leather jacket on, he can't be married to Brooke anymore. Oh, you're part of this gang. Yeah, honey, yeah, it's the gang of you, This storyline, I hated it. I hated it. I don't think Aces and 8s was very good overall, but it was the creative. You had that, what was that TV show that was really, really popular at the time? I'm drawing a blank. I never really watched it. What was the name of that TV show? that everybody was talking about. That's why they did the aces and eights. Someone in the chat will bail me out in a second. Sometimes the chat room will keep me out there. Sons of Anarchy. Thank you, Josh. Sons of Anarchy. That's why they did the storyline. I don't blame Impact Wrestling for doing a storyline, but the execution, their writing was very, very bland, awful, just not thought out very well. All right. Triple A Jimmy says, tonight's show is another instant classic. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. You know, it's awesome. Like I said, Sunday shows, it's like Sunday sauce. If anybody's ever heard of that with Italians, you go to a restaurant on a Sunday, and if it's an Italian restaurant, hey, what's the specials for today? On a Sunday, 9 out of 10 restaurants, Italian restaurants, will say, yeah, the special, we have branzini. You could have it broiled, filet of sole reganata. You could have this, you could have that. And we have a Sunday sauce. You get a meatball, you get a sausage over fresh pasta with a little bit of pork and beef brajol, and blah, 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 blah. So Sunday sauce is a very, when I was a kid, Sunday sauce was a very, we didn't call it Sunday sauce, but that was very important in my family. On Sunday, my mom at like 6 o'clock in the morning puts up this giant metal pot of tomato sauce from scratch. And it just simmers for like 6, 7, 8 hours. She puts pork in there. She puts all this stuff. It blends into the sauce. And then like around 4 or 5 o'clock, then you put it all together. And we would sit down and have meatballs and sausage and fried veal cutlets and pasta and this and that, Italian bread. That would be every Sunday. Very, very important in my family. So Sunday sauce is a special part of my Sundays. This is like Sunday sauce with the shows. I mean, the flagship show truly is Saturday because that's where we get into the real meat, into the discussions. But Sunday is like a special because we just hang out, chill, talk about whatever, have a little lighthearted discussion with it. But at the end of the day, you know, we talk about AEW, we talk about Punk, Paige, you talk about Sasha, Naomi, you talk about the contracts, you talk about, you know, the reality of what could likely happen with Sasha. You look at other things. So at the end of the day, we do have some serious combo, but it's, you know, at the end of it, it's lighthearted. David had spaghetti and homemade sauce when he was younger. Yeah, I miss it. I miss it with my mom. In the last couple of years, it's been rough for her, so she doesn't do it anymore. But up until, I'd say, about 5 years ago, she would make like a lasagna once in a while, and I would always take a big piece of it and put the, you know, that take all the air out, you know, to vacuum pack it. I put it in little vacuum packs and I put it in the freezer. And then 6 months later, you know, if she wasn't making it, I pop it out of the freezer, heat it up, and it tastes like my mom just made it. So I never called sauce gravy. I gravy is what you put on turkey and when you put on roast beef. I never, ever called Sunday sauce gravy. I know some people do. I never called it gravy. Favorite era of SmackDown? Early to mid-2000s. Mid-2000s, 2003, 4, 5, around there. I mean, it's almost like a fantasy league. I mean, you look at that roster back then, even though we were getting out of the Attitude Era, so to speak, eventually, but, you know, it was still over the top. But nah, I would say mid-2000s was probably my favorite era. You know, Paul Heyman was writing it for a little while, and it was reflective. You could feel his influence on SmackDown. Then he had the creative falling outs with Stephanie and Vince, and, you know, the rest is history. Oh, Nier. Yes, Nier. Happy birthday, my friend. Very, very awesome. And yeah, today was his last chemo treatment. I don't think Nier heard what we talked about earlier. We knew that your cancer was done. So we had a little tribute to you a little bit earlier. A little lighthearted convo. Somehow Manscaped was involved with it. But cheers to you, my friend. You know, what knocks you down makes you stronger in the end. You know, whatever it is, whether it's an illness, you know, financial issue, relationship issue, you know, employment issue, debt, you know, things with the economy, you know, it will make you stronger. It really will. So in the end, you're going to help others down the line who are going through chemo or might be afraid of what they're going to experience, and you could be there to help them. And then they, in turn, could help somebody else. I always looked at it like that. So I'm very, very happy for you. And what a cool birthday present, right? No more chemo. No more chemo. Cheers. All right. Would I be open to sharing my keto meal plan? I don't really follow anything specifically. You know, I eat a lot of chicken, a lot of salad. I love the yogurt. I forgot the name yesterday. Ratio yogurt. I love that. I will tell you, I stopped taking MCT oil because it fucked up with my heart when I had that that test done in December. That was not fun. You know, they went through my groin and checked, you know, the valves. MCT oil was screwing me up. Stay away from MCT oil. Stay away from nuts. You want to have a little bit of almond peanut butter or a little regular peanut butter, that's fine. Don't get into the habit of buying like granola or the big bags of like, you know, almonds and mixed nuts. Because believe me, I tell you, you'll eat handfuls of them and you'll be 10 pounds heavier. So I like a lot of ratio yogurt. I have Rebel ice cream. I eat chicken, a little bit of beef. I will have bacon and eggs. I just, that's pretty much what I have. If I get hungry, Schoolyard Snacks has a keto cereal. Edge pushes it. If any of you ever want to check it out, if you didn't hear the last time I plugged it, Edge is a big supporter of Schoolyard Snacks. They make keto-friendly cereals. And, you know, he did like a commercial for them or something. That's how I found out about it, but you know, I'll have a little snack here and there, but, you know, just, you know, be careful. And if you get have sugar alcohols, stay away from, Molitol and, you know, just be careful. If you haven't had sugar alcohols, you have too much of it, you'll be farting your brains out. So kind of chicken, cooked chicken, anything but breaded and fried, cooked on a barbecue, diced up and pan-fried, broiled, shish kebab, pinwheels, anything without bread, breaded. All right, back to wrestling. Dragon Den, do I think Cody will be beat before Cody versus Roman? That's a great question. That is a great question. Nier, I think we're holding off calls to next week because we found out that there was a server issue with the phone carrier. I found out on Friday because me, like an idiot, I didn't test it all week. I bought a different cable, connected it, and it didn't work. So either was something wrong with the mixer or something wrong with the phone service. So I contacted Freedom Voice, and if anybody thinks I'm making it up, you could Google Freedom Voice. You will see that they posted that they were having server issues last week. Friday, they said they're going to reset my number. And the problem is the 225 number has nothing to do with them. The 833 number does. And the 225 number forwards to the 833. And for some reason, it's not connecting here. If you call it up, it'll just ring and ring and ring. And then at different parts of the day, it'll say, thank you for calling, and just hang up. So next week, we should be back to normal. So at least we figured it out, though. That sucked last week. I mean, we ended up taking calls, and that sucked. Anyway, getting back to Cody. You know, I truly believe Cody will lose before winning a championship. But it'll be one of those distractions, somebody interferes, fruit roll-up. You know, Cody does not have to be undefeated to go into WrestleMania or to Survivor Series or SummerSlam. Whenever he ends up winning the championship, he does not need to be undefeated. In fact, I got news for you. it's probably the best thing for Cody Rhodes not to be undefeated. Because if he remains undefeated, it almost feels a little too predictable that he's going to win the championship. So if he has a loss or two under his belt, that puts a little extra doubt that, hey, you know, Cody can lose. And you know what? Even though WWE does not need to test Cody, but you know how WWE plays their game. And we've talked about it years back. Remember Rusev? Big losing streak. Dolph Ziggler? Big losing streak back in the day. It was a storyline for Dolph and others. Sometimes WWE would test, you know, someone's patience, you know, their reactions to losing. I guarantee you, when Bron Breakker lost that belt for a short period of time, I think that was also a test to see how he handled losing. You know, some people take it way too seriously, and that's not a shot to Sasha or Naomi or anything like that. But over the years, there have been people that don't react well to losing. And sometimes WWE will start a losing streak to see how someone handles it. And I think giving a bullshit loss to Cody, I think that's what they've done with Mustafa Ali. I think they've promised things to Ali, which led to him coming back. But I also feel WWE is like, all right, let's test this motherfucker. Let's see how he reacts to where, you know, look, the Ciampa stuff never got explained. Ciampa laid him out a couple of times. Why? Why did they do that? Look at it now. Why did they do that? You had Ali going on social media doing the impressions and talking about theory, but he never addressed Ciampa. So, you know, I think WWE did that to test him. So I think even though Cody doesn't need it, I wouldn't be surprised if WWE wants to test Cody a little bit. Hey, let's see how he reacts if he gets fruit roll up. In fact, you know, it's not a guarantee that he's going to beat Seth Rollins at Hell in a Cell. Who knows? Maybe Kevin Owens gets involved. And maybe this leads to a feud with Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes for a little while. Anything could happen. But yes, I think Cody Rhodes absolutely will have at least a loss under his belt before he wins the championship. Nier says that Solomonster uses a system that has a hold function in it, and he can answer calls from his computer. You know what? I will reach out to him. I will definitely reach out to him. I appreciate that. You know, I have capabilities here. I will definitely talk to him to see because, you know, look, my computer screen is like this. I mean, I don't remember the size, like 46 inches, so... You know, I definitely could fit a box if we do the calls through the computer. So, yeah, I'll reach out to him. I'm going to ask him what he uses for the program. So, I was using Google Voice for a while, but the problem is my sound card wouldn't sync up. So, it's just easier to connect the phone to the mixer. So, Seth beats Cody? That could happen. You know, if Seth loses for a third time, still I don't. You know, I don't believe Seth loses any cred. And that could turn into a storyline in itself that Seth Rollins is losing and there's something wrong. Maybe that leads to him stop laughing. It might change his character a little bit. Just like what they're doing with Moss. They took him off TV, so he's no longer laughing. Eventually, Raquel Rodriguez will not be smiling as much. So that could lead to a character tweak of Seth Rollins. Kevin's got a top 10 list. I guess this is beverages. Number 10, Sprecher your root beer. Number is 9, 7-Up. 8, Pepsi. 7, Orange Crush. 6, Coke. 5, Sun Drop. 4, Cherry Pepsi. 3, Dr. Pepper. 2, Mountain Dew. Number 1, Cherry Coke. It's not a bad list. For me, it's Zevia everything and club soda and bottled water. Hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. Chaos is in the house. What's up, Chaos? Thank you as always for the support, my friend. All right. We're an hour 35, so we will spend about another 20 minutes with questions in the chat. Just type in the word question and I will answer it. We will have a discussion. We've had some pretty awesome discussions tonight already. The Sasha and Naomi, I don't want to beat a dead horse and I don't want this to turn into the Sasha and Naomi hour every show because I know a lot of other people are doing that. It is a hot topic, but you know, we don't know anything else since then. And we could assume, we could predict, yes. But, you know, I think that aspect as far as what WWE will do, you know, pulling the merch, that was a dick move. Didn't even do that with Austin. But they're sending a message. Yeah, look how much we take away from you. You know, you'll see their references probably taken off of social media. Would not be surprised if you see a few things taken off online here and there. You know, if they could pull and make that revenue royalties go down to as close to zero as possible, just to be a dick about it, they will. And, you know, I mean, I don't want to say, can you blame them? Because I don't like that WWE lies, but they're not the only ones to do that. Problem is, a lot of these wrestlers, take note, the wrestlers that usually do walk out never to return or not to return for a very long time are the ones that usually already have it. The ones that give this passionate advice, like CM Punk and others, they've already made it. That's why he says it to Sasha and Naomi, but he didn't say a word to Big Swall or didn't say a word to any other wrestlers that have issues with their employer. You know, it's very easy to go out there and preach when that's not going to happen to you, you know? So, SRH John, yes, having an awesome day. I hope you are as well. I was a little under the weather earlier. That's why I actually had 2 bottles of water, but I think we will be fine for tonight. I think we'll be fine. So, WWE's going scorched earth with what's going on. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. Does Sasha and Naomi deserve the Benoit treatment? No. You know, and they're not. They're not. They're very, very upset. And yes, they are definitely at fault in a lot of ways. But no, I mean, WWE, this is what they do. They're a $1 billion company. You know, they're going to set. Right now, you know what they're doing? They're trying to put a scare in the other workers. All right. Do what Sasha did, and you see how quick we remove you from everything. And, you know, some wrestlers might be like, yeah, go ahead, fuck you. And then what happens? They wrestle on the indie circuit for $40. Or, you know what, you know, I am going to step away from wrestling and focus on my family. Interpretation, I can't get paid what I thought I was going to get paid. So I'll make it seem like I'm taking a mental break. I'm spending it with my family. I'm this, this, and that. You know, some people legitimately do. You know, Pat Buck was a good example. He got a newborn. He wants to see his kid grow up. He wants to spend more time with his family. So what is he doing? He's working part-time now with AEW. So he's still in wrestling. He's working with Creator Pro with the wrestling schools. He's taking his time. He's working. He could sleep in his own bed. So, yeah, some people do, but some people also do it the right way. You know, he gave his notice. He left. He went right to AEW because he's got a lot to contribute. Some others would do very professional as well. You saw people leave WWE and go to AEW. And remember how fans were disappointed when those wrestlers would not throw WWE under the bus. They were hoping. They were hoping to have some wrestlers just totally throw WWE under the bus, and they didn't. Because they know at the end of the day, if WWE is the only big game in town, you know, they may have to go back there one day, you know? So that's why some wrestlers, you know, they look out for themselves and their family first instead of what social media view them as. You know, you have some people that'll say, fuck WWE. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Those people are not paying that wrestler's bills anymore. So, you know, at the end of the day, this is the profession they got in, and They know what they got to do. That's why none of us should ever tell a wrestler where they should go or what they should do unless they ask, hey, where do you want to see me next? That's different. But to turn around and say, oh, don't even think about going to WWE. You know, you're going to pay that wrestler, you know, the difference in the money he loses because he can only work making $500 a show. M. Hawk, is there any truth to the narrative that Kenny Omega's disagreement with the developers have been holding up the release of the AEW game and it's $20 million over budget? $20 million over budget, I find hard to believe. I find very, very hard to believe. You know, they're dealing with companies. They know what they're doing. And AEW, when this game comes out, it's not going to be tremendously different. The visuals might be different in WWE style. There might be more features, maybe some unique types of matches. But it's not like they just took this new company off of the street. Hey, make us a video game. So to go $20 million over budget, you know, that's, I don't buy it. Why? Ask those people, why did it go $20 million over budget? Tell me what happened. What, the gameplay was fucked up? Well, you know what? You go find another developer. We paid you a lot of money. You fixed the problem. You don't just keep pouring extra millions. Hey, we, because you know what? If that's the case, oh, look, Kenny, I don't know what happened. Somehow the paper, it tore. Yeah, I don't know. Tony or Kenny, I don't know what happened. I don't know. It just, there's a whole bunch of broken pieces in the game. I don't know where it came from. Send us more money. You send them more money. All right. Oh, would you believe this, Kenny? Look, oh my God, I don't know what happened. How did this, it's broke. That's not how it works. I don't think, yeah, do I think that Kenny Omega is upset at some of the progress? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. If I was AEW, I'd be a little bit pissed off also. But no, it's not as crazy as people want to make it. Some people want to turn it into a major storyline. And yeah, you have some big hiccups. There's some demands in the game that is much different than WWE. And of course, you're going to have some issues with it. But no, I don't. It's nowhere near what people portray it online. Do I think Cody would go back to being an executive or playing a part some way in AEW when he's retired? Sure, why not? It's possible. You know, I mean, we've seen Bischoff get back in the game and then get out of the game. We've seen, you know, others get back in. John Laurinaitis is back. He's out. Bruce is in. He's out. This person's here. He's out. You know, this is their livelihood. So if the time was right and Cody and WWE, they didn't have much use for each other and AEW wanted to bring him back, sure, that could happen. You know, look, there's no question AEW was very, 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 very disappointed in Cody Rhodes leaving. You know, people could convince themselves online, oh, they're better without him. Oh, life goes on. Oh, it didn't change a damn thing. Yeah, okay. Cody Rhodes was the lifeblood in a lot of ways as far as AEW. How much behind the scenes the guy was doing is crazy, you know, and they have not replaced that. They have added responsibilities onto existing people. And, you know, how long that lasts, put it this way, if Cody's position was not absolutely needed, then why have that position in the first place? You know, so right now everybody's taking up some slack. That can only last for so long. Cody was absolutely necessary for AEW. Without Cody, AEW does not exist how we perceive it now. But, you know, as much as AEW is bitter, you know, they ain't social media. Tony Khan, Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, everyone else, they understand. At the end of the day, it's business. Just like it's business for them. One day, they may make a business decision that is outside of AEW. And there's this weird narrative on social media that you're AEW for life. And if you leave for WWE or someone else, that you're a traitor, that you know you turned your back. No, this is wrestling business. The only wrestlers that will turn around and say, oh, I'm AEW for life, are usually the ones that WWE would never dare pick up. I saw today, oh, who's that wrestler? There was a wrestler today. Ah, oh, crap. Can't remember his name. There were some allegations against him recently. Someone in the chat may know who I'm talking about. He said he has no interest in ever going to WWE. And he's a wrestler that has wrestled, you know, in you know, like the Ring of Honor Japan promotions, American guy. Oh, crap, I can't remember his name right now, but someone might be even going on Twitter and do the search really quick. A wrestler today said that he has no interest in going to WWE, and I looked at that and I laughed. I said, WWE has no interest in picking Will Ospreay. Thank you, Benjamin. Will Ospreay. You know, he writes this, and people are reporting it, that Will Ospreay, he has no desire to go to WWE. Those motherfuckers don't want you. You know, nobody wants you. That's like if, you know, somebody breaks up with you and you turn around and say, oh, I have no interest in dating her. She fucking turned you down, or he turned you down. Will Ospreay's funny. I said he's English, so fly. I said that he's wrestled in Japan. I said he's American. So what I see what you're saying. Okay. See, I'm from the United States, and when somebody says he's English, I interpret it as language. You're right. But, yeah, WWE has no interest in bringing him in. You know, when you're a wrestler, and even if you don't have a baggage, even if you have no negative history, no track record, and you ask around, hey, think WWE be interested in me? And then you find out that there is a clear cut, fuck no. And you know that they have no interest in bringing you in. Then it's very easy for you to do an interview and say, oh, I have no interest in WWE. Ah, no, I don't want to be involved with that. It's very easy to say when you already know the answer is no. I don't know if he's with Toni Storm. There's been some rumors, Bash. You know, I've heard so many rumors about Toni Storm. You know, private life is private life. If they don't want to reveal, you know, what's going on between the sheets, then, you know, me, it's none of my business. So, yeah, Joey Ryan's a good example, Richard. You know, Joey Ryan right now can't even do an interview. You know, he's just fucked. He could go on Twitter and say, I have no desire in doing interviews. Because, you know, everyone out there is like, fuck no, I'm not interviewing that guy. Ospreay's good. No, he's a talented wrestler, man. Very talented. I think Jay White could ultimately end up back, you know, in WWE. I don't know if it'll happen, but, you know, that's a possibility. But if Jay White finds out WWE has no interest in the guy, too small or anything like that, then you'll hear him do an interview. Oh, I have no interest in going to WWE. Okay. Charlie, when I made the joke Thursday that, you know, I'll be labeled the bad guy, you know, if I don't do things here and there, you know, because there's always haters out there always trying to find fault in something that I say or do, no matter what topic it is. It happens to everybody. It happens to every single person that does the show, even the uber good guys like Jason and others. There's always going to be someone out there throwing a little shade. So, you know. That's why I try not to even pay attention to that stuff anymore. Thank you, Mark. If everyone's enjoying the show, hit that like button. It does help this algorithm thing. We're in an hour and 50, so we will be leaving in about eight and a half minutes. So tomorrow we have Raw. Tomorrow Cody Rhodes will be taking on The Miz. Tomorrow Bobby Lashley has a challenge to MVP and Omos. And we talked about it on Saturday. The Almighty Challenge, I think that's what it is. I mentioned this Saturday, I think it's going to be. And the house shows this weekend are, I think, leaning towards what I said. Saturday, I said, I think something's going to happen that if Bobby Lashley beats Omos, he gets MVP for 5 minutes. Over the weekend, I heard on one of the house shows, Bobby Lashley went after MVP and attacked him. So MVP may be healthy enough now to take a little beating. So that could end up being. Now, the only question is, what's the stipulation if Bobby Lashley loses? You know, maybe Bobby Lashley gets his hands handcuffed and MVP has 5 minutes to do whatever he wants with Bobby Lashley. I don't know. Look, Cody versus Miz will be fine. You know, it's WWE does rematches all the time. You know, Miz is a former world champion. The guy is still at the top of his game. You know, the question is, does Mustafa Ali get involved in some capacity and maybe help Cody Rhodes indirectly in beating The Miz? That might be part of the reason why we get what we get. Maybe Theory gets involved and maybe we end up having Cody Rhodes and Ali versus The Miz and Austin Theory or Theory. You know, because they do that sometimes. You know, you get Theory shows up, Ali shows up, we go to a commercial break, we come back, and there's a tag team match on TV. So, Rampage ratings did not come out yet. I think the early number was projecting less than 300,000. I don't believe that. I think they do better than last week, even though last week was the, what, the 5:30 p.m. time slot. You know, I liked 7 p.m. this week. I thought that was great. It led right into SmackDown. And I think Friday's, I mean, look, the only reason why I would say Friday's rating could be worse is because maybe the fans were not as into the matches advertised. But I don't even know how that's possible. You had Jon Moxley and Bryan Danielson in the main event. I mean, we knew what the outcome was going to be and all that, but still, they main evented Rampage. I expect some fans wanted to turn in to watch that match. I don't think we'll get any more walkouts, Bash. I mean, you know, I don't want to start comparing wrestlers with other wrestlers, but, I mean, if you force me to, look at Bianca Belair. Look at what happened last year. She got the WrestleMania moment. You know, she was supposed to face Sasha Banks. And then Becky Lynch showed up and beat her in a few seconds. And then all throughout the summer and the fall, Bianca keeps losing and Becky's cheating to win. I mean, I'm sure last year, WWE did not say to Bianca Belair, you're going to win at WrestleMania. You're going to have the championship. Oh, in a couple of months, Becky will beat you in record time. And then, you know, we're going to take your belt away and you're not going to win it again until WrestleMania next year. You know, things change. Storylines change. Sasha Banks is one of the most beloved wrestlers in that company. But sometimes people get momentum. You know, look at Daniel Bryan with the Yes Movement years ago. You know, nobody in their right mind ever imagined Daniel Bryan to get that WrestleMania moment. I'm sure things were much different. But things change. And, you know, some wrestlers, they're promised something, and sometimes it doesn't happen. The issue, like I say, in this case is Sasha already at this level, who doesn't need to do this anymore, go back and watch some of the comments she said on the Steve Austin interview. There are some expectations that she has. And if she feels that WWE is just jerking her around, telling her what she wants to hear, and with no intentions on full going through with some of what they're saying, you know, remember, Sasha's left before because she was unhappy. So if she starts thinking that WWE is bullshitting her to try to keep her happy, and she's now catching them in their lies, she could turn around and say, fuck this, I'm done. One too many times. But other people are not in that position as Sasha Banks. So, you know, not everybody could do that. You know, and look, I know CM Punk deep down inside means well, but I also believe CM Punk gets a little bit of enjoyment to see his former employer having people walked out on them. So, you know, you don't want to put that thought in people's heads. Hey, yeah, I don't like what's happening to me. You know, WWE, fuck you. I'm going to stay home. And then they get released. They get fired. And then they're literally begging people online, you know, please buy my merch. Please, if you care what I do, buy my shirts. Or you send minions out instead. If you care about blah, 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 go on Pro Wrestling Tees. Buy their shirts. Buy their photos. Buy this. You know, it's very easy to put that thought in people's mind. And then when they realize, hey, I can't make this fucking money elsewhere. Nobody wants to pay me even half of what I was getting before. Zelina Vega. Zelina Vega, need I say more? She left Cartieris, that fucking ambulance chaser. I knew for Andrew Yang, nothing personal against him. I told you a year and a half ago that at the end of 2021, you're going to realize Andrew Yang did nothing for pro wrestling. Zero. He has still done nothing for pro wrestling. Zelina Vega thought that she had so many people had her back. And I said, she had that one day, she turned around, where is everybody? The fuck? She went back. Not everybody is in Sasha's position. So CM Punk means well, but if somebody's livelihood gets totally fucked up because they were inspired, I'm going to do what this person did. Well, guess what? Maybe you're not on the food chain to be able to be in that position. And let's be honest, only people that are in the position, the level of a CM Punk or Sasha Banks or Roman Reigns or others, they're the only ones that could play this game. I don't know if Naomi could play this game. Seriously, I don't know. I mean, I commend her for standing up because there was a lot of promises thrown her way also. But, you know, she may not be in that position. You may see Naomi come back and Sasha not. And I wouldn't be surprised if Sasha Banks would say, Naomi, look, you know, and it's not an insult to Naomi, but if she says, look, you're not in the same position as me. You know, I got this Hollywood, I got this, I got that. You know, you want to have a family, you want this. You know, if WWE is your best option right now, don't jeopardize your livelihood and your career. You know, Naomi walking out with Sasha showed how much she cares about her sister from another mister. But at some point, you know, she's got a concern about her own livelihood because Sasha Banks is not going to pay Naomi's bills. And if you say, oh, she should never go back to WWE, have the balls to say that the next time somebody signs with WWE. Have the balls to say that when somebody else returns to WWE. Because everybody goes silent when somebody signs with WWE. You could have 1,000 people get released. And people will speak out and yell 320 characters. And then when someone goes to WWE, they suddenly shut up. You know, because they realize that the argument is not as strong as you think. So I don't know what Sasha would use outside of that. She might use Mercedes. You know, Sasha Banks has such a fan following. She could call herself Mercedes and everybody would be fine with that. You know, it's the name would not be an issue. They want to see her. She's not that much of a gimmick. I mean, I wouldn't call her the boss. You know, look. You know, facing Britt Baker, the boss. No, 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 no. I don't want that. But you have someone like The Undertaker back in the day. You know, I mean, you send him somewhere else, he can't look like The Undertaker. What are you going to call him? The American Badass? The Badass? You know, some wrestlers that are very, very deep with their gimmick, you know, they might have a problem going other places. So, you know, I think Sasha, if she left, she would be fine. The only thing is she wouldn't get paid anywhere near what WWE is paying her. I don't think people realize how much money Sasha Banks makes in WWE. So, all right, we're at the 2-hour mark. I'm going to get out of here. I want to thank you for joining me tonight. Great conversation. Loved all the questions. Great discussion. Tomorrow, I will be here live after Raw. We will cover Raw. We will talk about any news that transpires, anything that we may not have covered this weekend. I will get into Ric Flair tomorrow. Ric Flair has addressed all the medical concerns. And unfortunately, I appreciate some of you letting me know, and I did the research. Unfortunately, if you think that the Tennessee State Athletic Commission could step in and prevent Ric Flair from wrestling, fat chance. So we will talk about the Tennessee State Athletic Commission tomorrow, get into that a little bit. Got a couple of news tidbits. WWE trademarked a new name. If you go check out the preview for tomorrow's show, you will see it. Could that be a new member in Max Dupree's stable or possibly Tony D'Angelo's stable? And we got a few other things that I have planned. So on the way out, if you enjoyed tonight's show, hit that like button. It is appreciated. I know I asked two times earlier, but it seems like only four of you obliged. So maybe you didn't like tonight's show. I don't want anybody to do it just to do it. But if you enjoyed tonight's show, do that. If you're not a subscriber yet, consider subscribing. It is free. And hey, if you want to become a channel member, a member of the family, you can do that as well. And if not, it's still all good. As long as you tune in, have a good time. It's all I can ask for. So thank you as always, everyone. I am going to do some editing, get this shit online, and call it a night. Today it was like 86 degrees here. I have the air conditioner blasting all night, and, you know, it's going to be a hot one tonight. But all the best to you. Thank you, as always, for the support. And I will catch you all again tomorrow, 11.05 p.m., right after Raw. Be well, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.